Father, we thank you. We can gather in your precious name, and Lord, once again, look at your word for a moment, and then to pray together, and then to pray and individually, small groups, to so everyone can pray. And so, Lord, lead us now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing a stanza of number 15. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Verse 1. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. And verse 5. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Amen. Well, let's turn in the Bible this morning to the book of Philippians. And as we're in these prison epistles, and of course the last several times we were in the two prayers of given to us through the Spirit by Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. And today we'll look at, there's three verses here that I just wanted to look at in chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. In fact, let's read verses 3 through 11, but the prayer actually is 9, 10, and 11. So Philippians 1, 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. How joyful are you in your prayers? How joyful are you when you pray for me? I hope you're filled with joy and not dread. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, amen, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it.
Yes.
Until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now here's the prayer, and I think this prayer is certainly fits us, because this is the prayer to believers. This is the prayer to Christians. This is the prayer to his believing friends and those there in the Church of Philippi. Verse 9, and this I pray, so here's what he prays. First, that your love may abound still more and more. How? In knowledge and all discernment. And secondly, that you may approve the things that are excellent. And thirdly, that you may be sincere. And fourth, that you may be without offense until the day of Christ. And that you may be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Why and what for? To the glory and praise of God. So, a very short prayer here, and a very straightforward prayer, but a good prayer, isn't it? This is a prayer to the believers who have received the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the Spirit. They have the love of the Lord in them. And yet he's praying, again, as was in the prayer in Ephesians, he's praying for a greater expansion of these gifts, really. The very first one is that what? Your love may abound. Well, you know what abound means. It means to grow, to proliferate, to be greater, that your love may abound still more and more, not just more, but more and more. And how we do need to have knowledge in our love, and we need to have discernment in our love, he's saying. And I was just thinking how not only has the world against Christ and against the Bible and against all things that are good, but it also has, it really right now seems to me, has really stepped up its attack on what is bad. Minimize any bad, and we're to tolerate it, right? There's no bad anymore. And if we come against anything that's bad, then we're just judging, and we're, you know, we're not to do that. We're supposed to accept everything. But that's not what the Word of God says. A couple of verses in Psalm 119, of course, come to mind. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Notice the difference there between the double-minded person would be a person who's walking in the world and maybe walking with a God partially, but they're not single-minded. They're not single-hearted toward God. They're doubting. And the Word says we're to hate that, but we're to love what is true, which is the Word. And then later it says, I hate and abhor lying. Do you hate and abhor lying? When you hear those in the leadership positions and so forth in the world, and certainly in our own country, and certainly in our own state, and you hear them lying, do you just say, oh yeah, you know, that's just the way it is? Or when you yourself are lying, do you hate and abhor it? Because the Scripture says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. So we're to love here with discernment. We're to love what is good, and we're to hate what is evil. And we're not to just accept everything, oh, it's okay, you know, you got a right to whatever you believe, and whatever you want to do is okay, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. That's not what the Bible says. We're to hate evil. And the Bible says we're not to judge motives, but we are to judge, aren't we? How can you tell what is evil unless you can judge evil from good? So when somebody says, well, don't judge, we are to judge. That's what the Word of God says. We're to judge, we're to determine anyway, to discern, right? We're to discern right from wrong. We're to discern what is good and what is bad, and how we see the conscience is being seared by the world, and where there's no discernment left in somebody who gets away from discernment, then, you know, they're pretty well lost. They're pretty well far off. But here he's saying that you may love still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Not just a little bit discernment, right? But all discernment, okay? So that's kind of the first thing he's focusing on, and that's good, because without love, we are nothing, right? We can have all the right facts, all the right truths and everything else, but without love, it's nothing, and it won't work. We have to have love. We want love. That's what he's told us to do, to love him and to love others, right? Secondly, that you may approve. Approve means to practice or try or test. It doesn't mean to try it in terms of, well, I'm going to see whether I can do it or not, but it means to test it. If you were going to put a material, let's say that it was proposed to be silver or something rather, and you're going to put it through various tests to see whether it's really silver or whether it's lead or something, you know, you're testing it, you're trying it, you're approving it, you're practicing to see that this is what is done here. So that you may approve the things that are what? So-so? No, that are excellent. We want to move toward excellence as his child because he's excellent and his word is excellent, right? Yes. We want to go toward those things. What does it say in a little later on Philippians? You know, whatsoever things are true, you know, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are so forth. What? Think on these things. And so we want to practice the things that are excellent. And that the next one is that we may be sincere. And you know that word really means, of course, without wax. It means pure. It means in the old days when they made statues and stuff, and they would ruin the statue before it was done, but they would, you know, stick the stuff on with wax, and it would be fine until it got hot, and then the nose would fall off or whatever. But we're to be sincere. We're to be without wax, in other words. We're to be genuine, right? That you may be sincere. And then also without offense. Who have I offended? Who am I offending? Who will I offend today? Well, we're to pray that we would be without offense until the day of Christ, right? Then we'll be out of here. We'll have our glorified bodies, right? We will be righteous then. We're not righteous now. We have righteousness because of what he's done for us and imputed to us. But there's not one of us who are righteous in these bodies. We're all still in unrighteous bodies, aren't we? Because we're all still sinning in these bodies. When we have a righteous body, then sin will be done away with. But we still have the ability to offend people today. And I don't think we have to go too many days without recognizing that others can offend us and we can offend them. But we're to pray that it would be without offense. And then we would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. That is such a beautiful thing. This is not self-righteousness. This would be the opposite of self-righteousness. You cannot have any lasting fruit of self-righteousness. It's filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. Obviously, that would include the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. It would also really be living our lives in accordance with the Word of God. That's the right way to live. And I think that has to be daily. I don't believe that we can do that any way other than in a daily application of the Word of God to our lives. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus. And then what is the net result of all of that? That's to glorify Him and to give Him praise. So we were created to give Him glory, to give Him praise. If we're not doing that, we're not meeting the reason that He has us here in the first place, right? Father, we thank You for this prayer. We just thank You that it's so simple and easy to understand in a sense, and yet we look at our lives and we need Your help. And none of these things that He's praying for can be done in our strength. We're to be dead with the old man, but they're all done by yielding to You and letting You and through Your Spirit work in our lives. Lord, here we have the opportunity to pray today, the opportunity to pray for whatever You put in our hearts. We want to be led by Your Spirit. I just thank You for the faithfulness of those coming and the willingness to pray. And so, Lord, we all have our own individual needs. And, Lord, I would pray at the end of this time, or maybe in 45 minutes or so, maybe a little less, we'll break into small groups and be given the opportunity to pray for the personal petitions. But, Lord, this first portion here, may we pray for larger things than our own self and our own needs. May we pray for the needs of the church around the world, the needs of the church in this country, the needs of the church in this state, city, local, right here at Calvary Costa Mesa. May we pray for our pastor and pastors and our missionaries and those who are serving. May we pray for this season coming up, Lord, for fruitfulness in this season. And Lord, may we just pray that Your will is done. May we pray for kings and those in authority. May we pray for the lost. May we pray for those who are saved, for fruitfulness and so forth, just as You lead us, Lord. And so we want to be responsive now. You know exactly what we'll pray for this morning. And we want to be responsive to Your leading. And so, Lord, guide us now, O great Jehovah. We ask in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In one accord, we pray.